left off in the last year. We were just beginning the introduction to Vestas. So in the last couple of weeks, we spoke about what the ramifications of Vestas are in terms of the requirement of doing Vedikas during the Shas of Vestas. We spoke about the requirement of Prisha with Shas of Vestas, but we haven't really spoke about what the Vestas is. At the very end of the Shia, we spoke about the potential differences between what's called the Vestas Kavua and the Vestas She'enu Kavua. So we mentioned that sometimes you're going to have a pattern that's developing. Again, we have no clue yet what these patterns are based on. Sometimes you have a pattern that's developing, and the pattern has already developed several times. Whether that's several times is 2 times or 3 times is a shaila, but we pass kind of look at that's 3 times. That's what's called the Vestas Kavua. So again, whether we're going to be talking about intervals, whether we're talking about days in a month, whether we're talking about other physical events, so whatever we're going to plug into Chaz Vestas, how many times must it repeat itself to become a Vestas Kavua? So we pass that halacha 3 times. Less than that, it's still something that we're concerned with, but we're concerned with it to a lesser degree. It's called the Vestas She'enu Kavua. At the end of the day, the halacha is that Prisha is required both for a Vestas Kavua and a Vestas She'enu Kavua. It's in Ferish Gemara. So my nafkamina, whether it's Kavua or not Kavua. So one possible nafkamina would be vis-a-vis the Bedika. So is a Bedika absolutely required on all kinds of Vestas? Is it only limited to a Vestas Kavua? Does Bedika, is the Chavos Bedika required even to a Vestas She'enu Kavua? That's not explicit in the Gemara. That's not like a Sepaskim. So there are different opinions about this. So many poskim follow the view, and that's in all the English books that printed out as Nida, as Manazeh, maybe with the exception of all the other books quote as like Pemola, you know, not even open for discussion anymore, that Bedikas are required across the board. Whether you have a Vestas Kavua, Vestas She'enu Kavua, as we'll see, there are multiple kinds of Vestas out there, so you can end up doing Bedikas right and left. Then there are other opinions in poskim say no, that the Chavos Bedika only appears officially in the Vestas Kavua, or those types of Vestas that have the quasi-status Vestas Kavua. We'll see what that means a little bit later on. But if it's just a Vestas She'enu Kavua, last month you saw on Gimel Shvat. Okay, so comes Gimel Adar, so she can't be with her husband on Gimel Adar, but there's no Chovas Bedika on Gimel Adar. Let's say, for example, last month she had a 28-day interval. So when the 28-day interval comes this coming month, so she has to be concerned, and she can't be with her husband during that. Those moments, whatever that means, of the 28-day interval, but in terms of requiring a Bedika, that wouldn't be necessary. So again, according to many poskim, there is a Chavos Bedika, there's no Chiluk whatsoever, and with other poskim, there is a distinction. Even within the Machmir, even within those who maintain that there is a Chavos Bedika drawing a Vestas She'enu Kavua, there still is a difference between the two. When it comes to a Vestas Kavua, so Bedika is absolutely critical. It's Me'ikra Din, it's absolutely required. And if one does not do the Bedika, one cannot be together. So even, let's say, for example, a Vestas Kavua passed. It was already, Gimel Adar already passed 3 days ago. And she didn't get around to doing the Bedika. She forgot to do the Bedika. So the din is that they cannot be together until she does Bedika. Again, obviously she got a period, it's all over. But even if she doesn't get a period yet, so she is still a Surah Kozman that she hasn't done the Bedika. So the Bedika is Ma'akiv Bidiyevet. It's not ma'akev to the extent that if she doesn't do it, then she's a surah, and she can't rectify. She can't rectify it, but she must rectify. She has to rectify by doing a bedika at a later point. When it comes to a Vestas She'enu Kavua, even according to the Machmirim who insist on a Chavos Bedika is at the time of the Vestas. So for whatever reason, she didn't get around to doing it, so then she becomes Muteris once the Vestas is over. So there are differences, either Lagamri vis-a-vis the bedika, or at least Bedieved vis-a-vis the bedika between the Vestas Kavua and Vestas She'enu Kavua. Another important difference between a Vestas Kavua and a Vestas She'enu Kavua is how long it takes to uproot a Vestas. Let's say a woman had a Vestas she's been seeing on every Gimel to the month for the last 10 years, but then she doesn't see. And she changes her period, and she has on a different day of the month. So just because she changed one time, that doesn't affect the Vestas. But once the Vestas was Kavua, so a Vestas Kavua has to be uprooted with the same degree that it came into existence. So just as you need it 3 times to create a Vestas Kavua, so you need 3 times to uproot a Vestas Kavua as well. So now she can be in a very strange situation. She may have multiple Vestas that she's worrying about. She has Vestas Kavuas from previous generations, and now she has the Vestas She'enu Kavua that just came into existence now. She may be in the process of changing her Vestas, so she could start to get complicated. Her Vestas calendar starts to get even more complicated. So if a woman has a Vestas Kavua, she has to hold on to that Vestas Kavua until 3 times have passed that have changed the Vestas. If it was only a Vestas She'enu Kavua in the first place, so easy come, easy go. Let's say last month she saw on Tezvav and now this month she saw on Yudbeis, so the next month around she doesn't have to worry about the Tzvav anymore, she just worry about the Yudbeis. So a Vesas Kavua, it takes a lot to get a Vesas Kavua into existence, but once it's there to stay for a long time. If it's a Vesas Shira Kavua, so then it was determined very, very easily, very quickly. But Lamaisa, easy come, easy go. So these are, in a sense, all just the introduction. We've thrown around a lot of terms. Prisha, and Chavis Bedikas, and Kavua, Shana Kavua. We haven't talked about the nitty-gritty yet. We haven't discussed what is a pattern. How in the world does she know that she has a pattern, potential pattern developing? So we're going to talk about almost five different potential kinds of patterns that exist in Halacha, and then a sixth, which is not really a pattern, which is another kind of Vestas, to try to put things, the pieces of this puzzle together. So one of the Vestas that exist is what we call in Halacha a Vestas Haflaga. So a Vestas Haflaga is based on the amount of days, the interval of the last two periods. So she can only have a Vestas Haflaga if she already saw twice. Let's say a woman saw last month, she saw on day Plony. She checked the day of the calendar, marked it off. And the next month, she sees on day Plony. It's not corresponding. It's not the same day in the calendar. So she has to add how many days it was. So she starts counting from the first day of the first period. She counts how many days passed. So now it's 32 days. So she has a flog of 32 days. If she somehow gets a flog of 32 days next time around, then she gets a flog of 30 days again, so then she can create what's called a Vesas Kavua Haflagos. So in every 32 days, she's going to have to be concerned, unless she's Okeras, that Vesas Kavua. Again, highly unlikely that that's actually going to happen. In today's world, it's almost never, unless a woman's on regulated medication, it's 99.99% of the time that she's not going to be so regular. We've spoke about this in the past, and years ago, women were much more regular in their periods because they had much less a factors fluctuating. We know that the women's periods are very, very sensitive to different changes in diet and changes in travel and stress and things like that. So in the olden days, things were pretty much the same. They ate the exact same food. We have a song called Zuntik Bulbas, Muntik and Shabbos Bulbas Kugel. They ate potatoes all week. They didn't have any food. It's if nobody traveled anywhere. The furthest you went was to the marketplace down the block. And yet there was so much stress the whole week, so there was no change. They were always in stress. They were always afraid there was going to be a pogrom. So they were always in stress. So nothing really changed. Nobody went on vacation, so nothing ever changed. Bismanas, everything is different. People are eating different foods. They're running around to weddings allowance at night. They're on it's tax season, so the accountants are in the office till all hours of the night, and then they're on vacation, and they're running around, people are traveling, they're coming and going, their biological clocks are so much more affected by different factors as man is there. So I say this with the utmost seriousness, that both the medical field and the post-game have come to the realization that things have a much more complicated as man is there in terms of Vestas, to such an extent that the Gemara says that if you have a woman who doesn't have a Vestas Kavua, so the Gemara views that as an aberration. That's something that's out of the ordinary for a woman not to have a Vestas Kavua. The Gemara quotes one time at the beginning of Masechet Nidah that says that if a woman doesn't have a Vestas Kavua, how could you ever be with her? How can you stay married? That she has no idea when her prayer is going to come. So we don't pass it away. We pass it away. Still stay married. Just be careful to observe all the Vestas. One time it says, how are you talking? How are you ever going to be together? You never know when the Vestas is going to come. So the Gemara says that it was almost unheard of for a woman not to have a Vestas Kavua. Because Manazel post can write, it's almost unheard of for a woman to have a Vestas Kavua. Everything has changed entirely. But again, that's the way it is. So getting back to the story. So if a woman has a Vestas Laflagas, so if it's by quirk a Vestas Kavua Laflagas, then she has to be concerned every 32 days. What if it's not a Vestas Kavua Laflagas, it's a Vestas Sheino Kavua Laflagas that every woman has? So then she has to be concerned the next month for that aflaga. So every woman has to keep track of what her last two periods were, because in order to create a aflaga, you have to know what the last two are. So if the interval between the last two periods were 32 days, so then if she still hasn't gotten a period next time around by 32 days, she has to be poresh, and according to some, have to do a bedika, whatever the different dinim of Vestas are. So the first official of Vestas we're going to talk about is the Vestas Laflagas. Okay.
The idea of Vestas, it's not a king of mitzvah deraisa, like one of the tayyad mitzvahs to a woman, and then that would create an environment where she would have to be try to be regular, to be in a state of, you know.
You mean you have to try to do something to get it? No, you have to.
No, I'm just suggesting. First of all, it's a.
Whether or not Vestas. It's not one of the Tayag mitzvahs. Whether or not it's a din d'oraisa or not is a big question. But it's not something that you have to try to gain. Like, you don't have to come and say, oh, chaval, I don't have a Vestas, let me go to the doctor, regulate me to become a Vestas, because otherwise
like
I'm not.
In the Christian world, you know. They limit women's, you know, activity. So maybe, you know.
I don't think you might have seen them that so any more regular.
Okay.
I think that the way our world is, that you came out the most insulated world today, and you're still doing things differently.
Okay,
I think so.
I just don't want to talk about
it. You say the same thing.
Yeah.
If I'm talking Kabul,
okay, no, we got. You got to come back. You've only been here for a week. You got to come back. You can't just pop in, you know. Just because we have a large representation from Eretz Yisrael here. Man, so.
We have a dollar number.
Okay, can I unhold?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the next Veses is what's called the Veses Vesachodesh, or different terms for what we call the best Yom HaChodesh, and that's when her Re'iyah coincides with a day on the calendar. Obviously, it's going to coincide. Nothing to do with our personal intervals. We're just going to look at the calendar. So let's say, if one gets what's today's date, what day of Adar are we in? Purim to Yudalev. So.
Yes.
Okay, so whatever they do. Okay. No, we can't. It's not Yudalev yet, right? Yudalev is not reading Megillah. You know, by some people they don't say Tachanun Yudalev, you basically give them a why, because in the old days, the B'nai HaKvarim used to, you know. So then, some people they don't say Tachanun on the 16th and the 17th. So why? Because the Gemara asked the Kasha, maybe we should include even the Emeshitzar, maybe we should say the Megillah on the 16th and the 17th also. So they don't take tachanun on the 16th, so somebody has them. But it's only half a meter in the Gemara, and the Gemara rejects it. To be deich tachanun, even half a meter is good enough. So the 10th of Adar, good. So, if a woman would get a period today, so we would mark it down in the calendar as the 10th of Adar, and then when the 10th of Nisan rolls around, so that is a Yom HaVeses. Now that may or may not be our flogger. Her flogger may have been 27 days, or maybe 39 days, I don't know what her flogger was. But just the fact that that she had it on a certain day of the calendar, that is raises a red flag, that's a cause of concern. And then she would be required to separate from her husband next month around on that same calendar day. And then she has to, according to some, have to do bedikas on that day as well. So even though we in Shulchan Aruch have for sure accepted the principle of Yom HaChodesh, it's an absolute Belishim Sofik Veses, not all the Rishonim accepted it. There's a Ramban that throws the question whether this thing actually existed or not. There are a few Gemaras that talk about something that led Tosfos to believe there is such a thing as Yom HaChodesh, and the Ramban says all those Gemaras that Tosfos taught mean Yom HaChodesh are really talking about a Flogus. That it's not 100% clear that there even is such a thing called a Yom HaChodesh. But again, that's the Havamina world. That's back in the world in the Lumdus and the Rishonim, when the Ramban throws a monkey wrench, he's not 100% sure that it exists. But Lamaisa, Nimna Vigom, we pass in the Lacha, like Taisus and Shulchan Aruch, it's not even quoted with any suffix. So we assume that a Yom HaChodesh is a full fledged Veses B'Zman HaZeh. What exactly does that mean, Yom HaChodesh? So I already spilled the beans by saying, well, she takes a look at the calendar, and it says on it, Yud Adar, so that when Yud Nisan rolls around, she has to be concerned. So that is a Machlokes Rishonim, whether that's what we mean by a calendar. The Ra'ah, there were two great Rishonim who spoke a lot about the Chosdida, what was the Rashba and the Ra'ah? The Rashba wrote a sefer called Teres Abayis. So the first day of Teres Abayis is about Kashrus, your day, and Shechit, and Masbuchov, those who have been with us in your days, who will hopefully find the Rebbe Rashba. And then the second half is about Chosnit, and then he has the end in Chos Mikvos. So the Ra'ah was his contemporary. The Ra'ah lived also in Spain at the time, Aaron Alevi, and he wrote a critique of the Rashba's Teres Abayis. Every time he disagreed, he called his critique the Bedek Abayis. Bedek Abayis, like you're fixing up the house a little bit. So there's this mistake in the Teres Abayis, and that mistake in the Teres Abayis, he wrote the Bedek Abayis. So then there was an anonymous sefer that came out in the same generation called the Mishmeres Abayis, that was written to protect the bias, to support what the Rashba said. So it was such a gewaltige sefer, no one could figure out who wrote it. Then afterwards they realized it was the Rashba himself, and that he didn't want to put his name. I think he wanted the machlokes to end already, so he just wrote an anonymous sefer, and that's where it ended. So if you buy the sefer Bezman HaZeh, the Torah bias in the middle, the Bedek bias on one side, the Mishpresa bias on the other side. So this was a major dispute between the Rashba and the Ra'ah, there were. For years, it used to be assumed that the Ra'ah was the one who wrote the Sefer Chinuch. And then later years, they realized that it probably wasn't true. In the Hakdamah to Sefer Chinuch, he doesn't give you his name. He says he was from Barcelona, and he writes, you should be based Levius, and he gives you a little description. It happened to be there, oh, it was Levi from Barcelona. So people thought that that's who it was. And then later on, they realized that there were too many discrepancies between things that it says in the Sefer Chinuch and things that we have on record from the Ra'ah to explain away everything. It seems that it was actually written by another person who was a contemporary at that time. The Ra'ah writes in his Hakdamah to, I'm sorry, the Mechaber of the Sefer Chinuch writes in his introduction that the reason why he's writing his Sefer is because he has a teenage boy. That's what he writes. He has a teenage boy, and the teenage boy and his friends on Shabbos afternoon are not doing anything overly productive. They're sitting around and bouncing around and just kidding around. They don't know what they're doing. So he's not doing anything bad. They're just doing nothing. So he felt bad that he's watching his son and his friends just sitting around and wasting the time. So he decided he's going to write them a Sefer. So he wrote them a Sefer of all the halachas and all the drushas and all the shkafas, all the tamei mitzvahs, according to the say the parashas Hashavu, according to the mitzvahs. That way, at least in between running around doing nothing, they would find an hour or so to learn every Shabbos afternoon. So in case you're worried that your sons aren't learning properly, write a Sefer and see what happens. Maybe it'll help. So in the Sefer, he raises a question. He says, how in the world can we calculate Yom HaChodesh? What's it going to correspond to? It's going to correspond to Yud Nisan. Because last month Yud Nisan, she got a period. So now Yud Iyash is going to get a period. He said, what in the world does her body have to do with what Derech Chodesh is? He says, Bishlam HaFlog is, that makes a lot of sense. A flog is a biological thing. You see that this is the way our body works. Our cycle is such and such. Our different parts of a cycle, the 2 weeks part of the cycle, this phase, that phase, all of the biology. So it takes, in most women, takes approximately 20 or 230 days. So if this woman has an interval that she's developing, so then this shows that this corresponds. What in the world does Rosh Chodesh have to do with anything? It's not even the same, right? It's not even the same amount every month. Right. The whole thing doesn't seem to fit into anything. So the Ra'ah says it's very, very hard to understand. So he says, Mistama, what it means is as follows. It must mean that it corresponds to the molad. It must be that we are linking it to something in biology. We're linking it to what the phase of the moon is. So when we say it's the Yom HaChodesh, we don't mean the Yom HaChodesh, Chodesh Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. We mean what number day is it in the lunar cycle. So the lunar cycle is 29 and a half plus a couple of minutes of a lunar cycle. So it's on day 13 of the lunar cycle. So she's got to listen to the Molech, she's got to listen when the Kaaba announces Mevorchim to know, oh, that's my bestest. Don't write down your bestest based on the calendar. He was right. The calendar may be 13, maybe 14, and maybe it depends on when the Molech serves. It's not even the same every year. There are some months that change from year to year. So how in the world is she going to keep track of this? She has to keep track according to the days of the molad. Otherwise, he says, it doesn't make any sense. What in the world does the molad have to do with the woman's cycle? So that already, the Ra'ah says, that already we know that some kind of the moon has some effect on the natural world. That we already know. All right, look at the tides. We know that. We don't exactly understand that. We're not sure how this works. But we know that somehow the Rosh created into the Teva that the moon has some impact on the physical phenomenon of the world. So he says, Mistama, Chazal has this understanding that it somehow we're indirectly impacts on the woman's body as well. So the Rashba said, Lo Shemano Davazemayodim. He said, since when do we find that a woman has to walk around with a molad calendar? She has to ask the Gabbai what day the molad was to know when the Sof Kiddush Levana, to know when the. She reminds everybody, didn't say Kiddush Levana yet. Friday, I think Monday night. Monday night, I think, is the only clear night in the next couple of nights. So keep your eyes out for Levana. But the Rashba says, Lo Shemano Davazemayodim. She should keep track of when the molad Levana was. So he says, when Chazal speak about the Yemecharish, they meant. Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. So how is it? They're all a very, very shtaka taina. So the Rashba responds with the famous Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the world of Teva, it's hard for us to understand this because we live in a scientific world, so we think we're the, as from as we are, we're still mushba by a certain mindset. So we think everything is according to the revealed world of science. So the Rashba, so we're not right. That there are things in the Elamas Al-Yayim that we don't understand. And there are impacts that the halacha has on the natural phenomena of the world that we can't logically comprehend. He quotes Yerushalmi that says that there's a din that of a little girl until the age of 3 years old, so if she experiences a maisebiya, that doesn't really count. And there are no consequences of that maisebiya. And her basulim weren't impacted at all. If she experiences a maisebiya after the age of 3, so that's the din, then she's considered to be no longer a basula. So the Gemara raises a shaila, what's the din if a girl was already 3 years old, and she had a maisibia with somebody, so we declared she's no longer basula, and her basula is going to be different. And we declared that what she had was a maisibia, and lo and behold, it happened in Chodesh Adar, and then Beis Din decides to be ma'abed the shana. So if Beis Din decides to declare a leap year, so it kloy milsa that she wasn't 3 years old yet, because you only become 3 years old based on your birthday, but her birthday hasn't happened yet. So we thought she already had a birthday, but she didn't have a birthday yet. So the Rishami says, so what happened to her basula? So we just declared a week ago, we said, she just underwent the physical maisibia, and she's physically not a basula anymore, and shut, it's finished. And now, we reevaluate when the Beis Din changes the calendar, and Igloy Mil says she wasn't really 3 years old, so what happens to a basula? So the Rishami says, basula chayzrin. Rishami says, a basula will come back to place, whatever in the world that means, we have no idea what that means, but the Rishami says, basula chayzrin. So Gemara says, what? Basula chayzrin? It's a doctor thing. That's a physical thing. So that's anatomy. We have to do this with the chaydish. So the Gemara quotes a verse like Kela Oina Alai. The Yerushalmi says that the Rebbeinu Shalom runs the world according to the Chachmei Torah. When the Chachmei Torah declared that it's Rosh Chodesh, that changes the physical phenomenon of the world. The anatomy changes. The biology changes. The chemistry changes. The physics. Everything changes depending on whatever the Beis Din HaGadol says. So, Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that when the Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh, so that impacts on the Beis Din Shamal also, that the Baruch Shem will not sit in judgment that Rosh Hashanah until Beis Din declares it to be Rosh Hashanah. Until Beis Din is bekabel Eidim for the Kiddush Chodesh, the Beis Din Shamal start a take if they're waiting for the Beis Din Shamata to be bekabel the Eidim. That's what it says in the Pasuk, Ki Chayk L'Yisrael Hum Vishpat L'Lucha Yaakov. At first it's Chayk L'Yisrael. Until Beis Din is kafeh what's going on, nothing happens in Shemayim. So now the Rishami says, not only does nothing happen in Shemayim, nothing happens in Ba'aretz either. That the Chukei HaTeva are Tluyim V'Omdim on the words of the Beis Din. Azoy Shteit. So again, it's hard for us to comprehend that, but that's Azoy Shteit in Chazal. So the Rashba quotes that Yerushalmi in this context, and he says, you're bothered with the Kasha, they're us bothered with the Kasha. The doctors are telling us that a woman's cycle has nothing to do with Chodesh Nisan, because Chodesh Nisan is 29 days, and the next one is 30 days, and 30 days, 29 days, the whole thing doesn't correspond to anything. So the Ra'ah said, you're right, it corresponds to the Mor HaLavana, which is at least a physical phenomena. The Rashba says, no, a woman's cycle corresponds to the Beis Din HaGadol, whatever day Rosh Chodesh is. If the Hil HaSheni was kaveh that Rosh Chodesh is such and such, that's going to have an impact on the woman's cycle. We don't understand it. It says we're chalking up to one of the many things we don't understand about this world. That the Koach HaTorah is so powerful that we have such control over the entire world. The Koach HaTorah is so all-encompassing that it impacts on mamash, on the down-to-earth things such as seemingly minute as a woman's cycle. It's also a reflection of when Rosh Chodesh is. So again, it's hard for us to understand it, but that's what we pass it. In the Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the Rashba, that all of Vestas HaChodesh are determined by not the Yom HaLevana, but rather the Yom HaChodesh. So be it, if Beis is Ma'abed HaChodesh, so the day will change, Kahina V'Kahina. So far we have two Vestas already.
Can we say, what we were saying before, that it's so not established today, that she could psychologically...
It's psychological, depending.
They know that
she knows that
tomorrow, and then she gets evil, gets her body...
Okay, I thought you were going to say that she gets so, she's so psychologically affected by the Rosh Chodashim. I would say it depends which one. If it's Chodesh Nisan, then you may be right. She may get psychologically affected by it. But, you know, Chodesh Cheshvan, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure how much of an impact it makes. Okay. So far we have two, almost what we call simple, not compounded Vestas. We have the Vestas Aflog, and then we have the Vestas Chodesh. Then the Gemara speaks about, on page 22, so the Gemara speaks about a strange kind of a Vestas. That's on the end of Marmokham number 1. The Gemara neither Samach Dalam and Alf Itmar. Rosa Yom Chamisha Asal Chodeshah, Yom Tezayin Yichodeshah, Yom Shiva Asal Chodeshah. She has what we call a Vestas Ladilog. She has a real pattern that's developing. You know, the thing is, it's not an exact pattern in the sense of it's not the same day. It's on the 15th of Nisan she gets a period, then on the 16th of Iyar, then on the 17th of Sivan. So guess what? So now she may have to be worried about the 18th of the next month. So Rav Am a couple of Vestas Ladilog. So Rav says she has already created for herself a Vestas Ladilog, and now the next month comes around, she has to be concerned on the day of the Dilug. So it was 15, 16, 17. Next month, she has to be concerned about the 18th. And it's a Vestas Kavur already. So she's in a Sir Tashbish and a Chavis Bedika. And if she missed the Bedika, she's in trouble. So she has a real bona fide Vestas Kavur, Lid Dilug. Shmuel says, I also accept the principle of a pattern, Lid Dilug. The only thing is that what Rav's description was not yet a description of Dilug. Why is that? So because it was a 15, 16, 17. So that's a little bit tricky, says Shmuel, because in order to create a pattern of a dilug, you need 4 years, because you have to be, the first one wasn't the dilug yet. So it doesn't register, the dilug vessels doesn't register until you have a second one. So when you don't have a dilug, you just have a straight 15, 15, 15, so the first one kicks in as number one. But in order to create a vessel of dilug, then you have to add on a yom. So again, that's a technical machlok. Is that relevant for us right now? It's a shayla how we task it. But everybody agrees there's a concept called a vessel of dilug. So a vessel of dilug can now be used to compound with either a chodesh or with a haflaga. So let's say she has like this. She has a 15th of the month, 16th of the month, 17th of the month. Then we're discussing vessel of dilug lechodesh. What if she has a dilug of haflagas? So last month she had a haflag of 28 days, and then she has a haflag of 29 days, and the next month 30 days, and 31 days, and 30 days. So she now has next month 33 days, and the following month 34 days, etc., unless she starts the okay that vessels. So we're already beginning to see that a woman has to keep a very, very careful calendar, because there may be certain patterns that that develop. So she has to watch herself and see. She has to watch the Vesas HaChodesh. She has to watch it because she has to know what happened last month, even for Vesas Shena Kavua. But she should keep a half an eye to see whether there are any strange patterns that are developing. Has she created a pattern of a straight Vesas HaChodesh? Has she created a pattern of a Haflagas? Has she created a combination of Dilugs? So a woman should try to be cognizant of this. How long does she have to keep a calendar for to check? She has to count for the last 30 years. So most probably not. If you would be so machpelah, you have to look for all kind of crazy, wild patterns. So if the girl turns bas mitzvah, she has to keep a record. So we assume not that way. Although there are some places where they tell the young girls, where the teenage girls, they should start to write down their periods to keep their vessels calendars going. I don't tell people that. I tell people that a few months before they get married. Depends how long their engagement is going to be. So if they sense that they're getting engaged soon, then they should start. And they know they're not going to be engaged for that long. So they should start to already keep their vessels calendars ready. Start to see, is there anything strange going on that we should be aware of? They should know what's happening. There's a very good side benefit to keeping vestas also in the biological world. Unfortunately, sometimes women have difficulty getting pregnant first, and sometimes it has to do with their periods a little bit out of sync, that the numbers are off a little bit, they're getting strange periods that could sometimes be indicative of certain medical issues that have to be, usually they could be just touched up with a little bit of medicine. But very often, like if a woman will go to a doctor, the doctor will say, okay, so tell me a little bit about your history of your periods. So very often the woman's not from, she doesn't even know the answer to that question. That most of, they're not even samalev when they got the period, thinking about how long the period, who thinks about that? But if a woman's shomer tzaras mishpacha, so she knows, she pulls out a calendar, says, I got my period this day, every single day for the last 5 months, and it lasted 5 days this month, and 6 days that month, and 7 days that. So she knows exactly what's going on. So sometimes there's an added bonus of keeping these vestas calendars. But that's not the reason why we keep them, but that's what happens. So a woman should try to get into the habit of keeping an organized vestas calendar. A vessel calendar should not just be kept in a person's head. Even the Chayyadim already said it gets too complicated. You don't even remember what it was. You know? So the Chayyadim already writes, high tech, the Chayyadim says, you should take a paper and pencil. You should write down when your periods were and every month. And then again, you don't have to look back for 30 years. But just keep an eye and see what's going on the last, clearly the last month or two. And then a little bit in the past to keep some idea as to if there's anything that's funny that's going on. And more recently, so many women keep their vessels calendar on the computer. There are programs that are written to make life easy. The problem is something you have to make sure which programs you get. Some of them are written, there are different standards, there are different chumras of that. Sometimes you can find things on computer programs that you never knew existed. You'll find the vessels that existed 40 years ago. The woman when she was 15 years old, she had a vessels, and now she's 45. So you have to be careful you don't go overboard in terms of those who want to keep it on computer, that's fine. And there are programs that are written in to try to identify strange vestas. But again, I don't know how much you behoove to go look for wild, crazy vestas from 20 years ago. Just, you should keep in mind the last couple of months, you should be aware of what's going on, either writing it down or keeping it on the computer. So up until now, we've been talking about vestas that relate to some degree of days, either days of the calendar or days of the intervals and then the dilugs. Then you have other kind of vestas. We take a look at the third of the Menachamos. But the Gemara talks about Amar, it should be Amar Rav Huna, what happened to the Rav over there? Amar Rav Huna, Kavtza Verasa, Kavtza Verasa, Kavtza Verasa, Kavla Vessas. What if she does certain kinds of activities that cause a Vessas to happen? So, or I shouldn't say cause vests that are associated with the vest happening. So she jumps. And once she jumps, some of it means she does a real jump. It's not a real jump, and all of a sudden she gets a period. And then next time, month around, when she jumps, she also gets a period. Next time, so every time she's having these big jumping sessions, so she gets a period. So that may also be a potential kavias vases, that there's some kind of a connection between activities that are happening that may be causing her vases to come. So the Gemara talks about not just jumping. What does that vessels of achilas that she eats certain food? Every time she eats pizza with broccoli, she gets a period. So if it happens enough times, so then she may have a clear vessels for that. And next time she eats the pizza with the broccoli, she may have to be concerned. So these kinds of vestas of kotz of ra, so most of these things don't happen to much b'zman hazeh. Most people don't have vestas every time they start to eat onions and garlics and things the way the Gemara describes. These, I don't know how often they happen in the days of the Gemara either, but the Gemara talks about these kinds of wild scenarios that you do something that causes the vestas to kick in. So most of this part of Vestas is not so relevant to Maisa, except for the most important part of Vestas, which is Banazan. And that's, what if she has something that she does that causes a period, but it's not something so arbitrary that we don't really understand. We understand exactly what it does scientifically. She takes a certain pill, or she stops taking a certain pill. She does a search, she's on a regulated birth control, and she takes pill plenty, which is usually the placebo. She stops taking the birth control, she takes a placebo, and then, by golly, every month, 2 days later, she gets a period. So that's like a vesas, liachilos. That's a vesas, that's the nikvah. So it happens every single month that way, that she gets it exactly 48 hours after she comes off the pill. So that halachli is considered to be a vesas. So that's something that we have to talk about. We'll talk about it a little bit. Yes, you have to rehearse, you got to come back for that. But hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But that's another kind of a vesas. Then there's another kind of a vesas, which is also related to activities, but it's the other way around. It's a vesas that every time she does, every time she gets a period is always preceded by a sneezing fit. A period is always preceded by a yawning fit. Or maybe a period is always preceded by things that are more relevant for us. She always gets cramped, she always has back always hurt, she always gets a headache this time of the month. Her legs are always start to hurt this time of the month. And then she gets a period a few hours later. So that's another kind of a vesas, a whole different kind of vesas called the vesas aguf. So we have multiple vestas that are related to days oriented. Then you have vestas that are related to actions and related to the bodily phenomena. So these are all different kinds of vestas. So far we talked about five potential different kinds of vestas, and we have more to come. So hopefully, B'tz Hashem, next week we'll talk about the touches on what these vestas are, and then see Tachlis L'maisa, how any of this plays out for a woman B'zman Hazeh. I don't think so. Yes, Stevie, you're the only one who would have it.
All right.
Do you have it?
You have it on a wire.
This goes back to poor computers.
No, I produced these, but I want to make copies, but they kind of did too far.